Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack. Liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage, because my rights are essential, and every job is essential for heaven's sake. It feeds your family, pays your bills, and church certainly is essential, and no politician should ever have the power to use an emergency to shred the Constitution. I'll be at the next Open California rally in Aurora Grande on the corner of Grand and Oak Park Saturday between 1 and 3. That's in Aurora Grande on the corner of Grand and Oak Park from 1 to 3 Saturday, May 15th. I hope to see you there. The judicial flim-flam persecution of General Flynn continues. And is phony Fauci throwing Trump under the bus, as I predicted? How Fauci lied and people died? The L.A. mayor threatens small businesses with cutting off their utilities unless they bow at his altar to worship COVID the fear god. And friends, that is exactly the reason that free market is the only way to keep accountability in the marketplace. Give the government power over your water and over your electricity, and this is what you get. They don't have to worry about a profit margin. They just tax you. Take your money. The California governor's emergency powers re-examined in the light of the law of nature, the Constitution, and California law. On the lighter side, my personal experiences lately at Costcami and Home Despotes. Okay, being somewhat playful there, but hey, my friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
The judicial flim-flam persecution of General Flynn continues. Back in 2014, Flynn got crossed up with the Obamster. You might remember that. The official story is that Flynn had a bad attitude, didn't know how to play well with others. But the rumors are that he was meddling in the Obama-Biden-Brennan skimming scheme, in which these guys were siphoning off billions of foreign aid money into their own pockets and their cronies. Well, we'll see. Sometimes these rumors have a way of, you know how it is. Whatever it is, it must be huge. We know Flynn is susceptible to being controlled by intimidation when it comes to his family. Well, that's how they finally beat him, you know, into signing the phony admission, the phony confession. He could not bear to have his family dragged through all of this devilish and wicked business. We know, and everybody knows, he didn't lie to the FBI. He was just beat into confessing that he did. After they finally got Flynn where they wanted him, silenced, discredited, jailed, and with a criminal record, and only at this time, God knows what they have threatened to do to his family if he said anything, and that is yet to be brought out into the light. When Trump became president, Obama warned him not to hire Flynn. What? That might have got him the job. Did you see the picture of Trump shaking hands with Obama in the White House after election? Neither is happy, both scowling, and that happened to be the pick chosen for the article that tells us Obama warned Trump, don't hire Flynn. And we know that before Trump got in, they had a real quick hurry-up meeting on what to do about Flynn. Biden, Brennan, Comey, Clapper, Obama's chief of staff, McDonough at the time. Yeah, and you heard about what Comey did after that meeting, right? Oh yeah, I sent two FBI agents to visit Flynn on a mission to get him fired and or to lull him into a perjury trap. Try to trip him up. Maybe he'll say something that wasn't exactly factual, and then we could manufacture a charge against him for lying to the FBI. They documented that this was their mission. This is what they had in mind, and it's all blowing up on them right now. But the question that keeps popping in the back of my mind is, what makes Flynn so interesting to these people? Why to go to all this trouble to get him? So, you know, was Obama concerned about Flynn becoming part of the White House staff because that would provide the legal cover Flynn might be able to use to expose the Obama-Biden-Brennan skimming scam? What makes Obama so obsessed with Flynn? And after the DOJ receives these revelations about how the FBI set out to entrap Flynn, and they do the right thing and drop the charges against him, a liberal judge steps up to defy the order and to defy D.C. Circuit's decision and attempt to delay the formalization of his release by legal maneuvering, and maneuvers that are all by accounts illegal and in defiance of law. So good night. What is it about Flynn that has these people so obsessed with destroying him? And when will we discover what threat against his family has been used to cow this great man into submission? The liberal news media is crowing about Flynn's case not being over until their liberal judges say it's over. But I say this case isn't over until all the truth about why the liberals are so afraid of Flynn is brought out into the light. The judge is hanging on to Flynn's admission that he lied to the FBI. Well, I'm sure you know that's a very old communist trick, you know? Just sign this confession and we won't hurt you anymore. And then when you sign it, they parade the signed confession about as proof that they were justified in all they did to you. You'd never fall for that one, folks. Maybe it's just a case of pride, you know, like Witch Gretchen of Michigan. Did you hear the latest there? A 70-plus-year-old barber decided to open a shop because, well, he's got to make a living. The legislature in Michigan had refused to extend her lockdown order, but this she-devil insists that as goddess governor of Michigan, she's above the law. So she sent the police down to close him up, but the police officers did the right thing and they refused to execute that unlawful order. So she tried to drag the poor guy into court and get a district court to order him to shut his shop. The judge ruled against her and said she had no authority to shut down his barbershop. So this wicked witch of the East Coast got the licensing bureau of her state. You can usually count on liberal bureaucrats to do the bidding of their evil masters. You know, she got them to revoke his license to practice haircutting or barbering and threatened to fine him $1,000 per haircut, or is it $1,000 per day? He's still trying to sort all that out. And to add a year's jail time for each haircut he gives or each day he continues operating. There's no known prior relationship between this hapless barber and Witch Gretchen as there is between Lynn and Obama. So it appears, as he put it, that he has become something of a worm in her brain. You know, she's fixated on beating Michiganders into submission to the goddess of Michigan, and he's going to be the example, I guess. And you know, it's so typical, those who get power that refuse to bow the knee to King Jesus invariably become little tin-horned despots demanding all around bow to them. Bow their knees to them and their god tyrannous. Phony Fauci throws Trump under the bus. Been wondering when that was going to happen. He lets a liberal reporter bait him into saying if Trump had acted sooner. CNN's Jake Trapper asked a leading question of Fauci. What might have happened if the federal government promoted social distancing in February rather than in March, when the White House rolled out 15 days to slow the spread guidelines? Now, I'm telling you, folks, it looks like Trump is being set up. Pray with me that it backfires on these wicked people, but back to Fauci. Here's how Fauci answered, quote, it's very difficult to go back and say that. I mean, obviously, he says, you could logically say that if you had a process that was ongoing and you started mitigation earlier, you could have saved lives, end quote. And if Fauci had stopped there, well, we'd be talking about how this guy has done this several times, you know, of following the lure of a leading question in an attempt to undermine Trump. I thought he was smarter than that. I would begin to say this is a pattern with Fauci. He does not learn, or more likely, he's playing along with the liberal agenda, carefully keeping his heels on the right side of the line that his toes are stepped over, and wondering out loud about what team is this guy playing on, you know? Is he really pulling for America and the Constitution and so on, or is he pulling for Bill Gates and his depopulation agenda foundation, right? But he did not stop there. He added this, quote, but there was a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then, end quote. Oh. So, what's the obvious insinuation that's planted in the minds of everyone hearing that? This clearly positions him as having recommended an economic shutdown to protect us all from COVID, but there was a lot of pushback about shutting things down back then. Is this man a traitor to the country, and is he in collusion with those who want to destroy the American economy in order to make Americans angry at Trump? So you see what they're doing. The liberals are going to be in uproar that Trump didn't do enough, and the conservatives are going to be in uproar that he allowed these fakers to fool him into participating in the total destruction of the American economy and the violation of our rights. But I'm praying and you're praying that this will all blow back on them. You might have seen CNN's timeline on this COVID thing. It's a joke. Just like their entire organization, it's fake news. I've got it here for you to look at if you want to read through it. They conveniently left out the Fauci foibles, you know, that any honest news organization would have included in anything they hoped would be a meaningful timeline. But to appreciate it, you do need to consider what Fauci is saying now against what we're going to show you he said before. Now he issues dire warnings that if we open too soon, lives will be lost. Well, Dr. Fauci, if we continue to encourage people to use marijuana and drink alcohol, calling those essential businesses during this outbreak, lives are going to be lost since those things actually suppress our immune system. And, you know, if you let people live and breathe, lives will be lost. I'm being facetious here. But the point is, it is looking more like he's part of the deep state that is working to destroy the American economy. And just like it predicted, he's now apparently beginning to throw Trump under the proverbial bus. One more thing to know before I begin this expose. On Easter, Fauci was being interviewed by a liberal hack who asked him one of those leading questions, you know, when did you know this coronavirus was a serious threat? Well, guess what Fauci said? Okay, yeah, I hate that question too. But it sets you up to give special attention to the answer, right? No? Well, okay. Listen close anyway. Fauci said, we, and that means he and his cronies, knew we were dealing with something very serious in about mid-January? Mid-January, folks, so really? Well then, how do you account for this, Mr. Fauci? On January 21, 2020, now that's a little past mid-January, isn't it? Fauci was asked about the new coronavirus, and he said Americans do not need to worry about it. He said take it seriously, of course, and take appropriate precautions as you would any flu during an outbreak, but Americans did not need to worry. January 29, 2020. Okay, now we are definitely past mid-January, Mr. Fauci. Well, he was asked again whether Americans should be concerned, and he said the risk is very low for Americans. No extraordinary mitigation efforts were recommended. The top infectious disease doctor in the entire country assured us. Use reasonable precautions, but otherwise, no need to change your regular activities January 31st. Well, Trump went ahead and restricted flights coming in from China and declared a public health emergency. The MSM criticized him for restricting flights from and to China. They didn't see this as a big deal then either. You see, February 29. Okay, now we're way past mid-January, are we not? And Trump has taken action, my friend. He's called this a national public health emergency. And Fauci was asked about the new coronavirus. And you know what he does? He poo-poos any concern. He says, no need to change anything you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Be concerned, of course, but no dire warnings of millions dying and no suggestions that we wear masks or change our lifestyle. This kind of stuff, March 8th. Fauci actually poo-poos the idea of Americans needing to wear masks. He mentioned the concern that there's a mask shortage. But he explained that, you know, wearing a mask really doesn't do that much. It's important for doctors and people like that, but the American people walking around in masks, no need. That's what he said. March 13, Trump declares a national emergency over COVID-19 pandemic, and soon thereafter, the economy was destroyed by liberal governors overreaching their authority in response to this. Trump began making overtures toward reopening the country, and Fauci began making subtle counter-overtures. I noticed these things, you know. March 30, Fauci rolls out the worst-case scenario that millions will die, and he says, not likely that'll happen, but more likely around 100 to 200,000, but he didn't want to be held to that either, because the fact is we cannot predict this sort of thing, and the fact is he hasn't got a clue, and the fact is there's only one thing it appears to me that Fauci and the rest know for sure, and that is you better not open the economy. Uh-huh. In April, CDC updated their recommendations and now added that Americans should be wearing masks. That's interesting. You see, the difference is the shortage was addressed. So now, y'all should wear masks. It's political from beginning to end. Lies and politics. It's no big deal. Does very little for you. Blah, blah, blah. Shortage over. Oh, now everyone should be wearing. I don't know why everyone's not wearing a mask. You're being duped by liars. April 12, Fauci's talking about how he knew this was a big problem in about mid-January. Today, he's testifying about dire warnings of death if the country moves forward with reopening the economy. My friends, there is a legitimate alternative explanation for the Fauci foibles. So give him the benefit of whatever reasonable doubt you may. Say some of this was naivete on his part. He was being baited by wicked propagandists of the MSM with leading questions, and he had a lapse of memory about when he understood this new coronavirus was serious, and he really did not mean to throw Trump under the bus. And he is the nice guy that Trump believes that he is, apparently. The bottom line is Trump was pretty much ahead, actually definitely ahead, of all of them from the start and throughout all of this. In other words, maybe lives would have been saved in the Fauci model if Fauci had not been lying to people about the disease, including the plan to lie about the number of COVID deaths, to pump that number up. Lies. They've lied. You can't believe a thing they say. But we've brought that out fully before, so let's take a break. I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today. And Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Okay, soldiers, speak up and charge the gates of hell.
It's God's war, and we are his soldiers. The battle for America is on. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Because my rights are essential, and every job is essential, and church is essential, and no politician should have the power to use an emergency to shred the Constitution, I'll be at the next Open California Rally in Arroyo Grande on the corner of Grand and Oak Park Saturday between 1 to 3. That's Arroyo Grande on the corner of Grand and Oak Park from 1 to 3 Saturday, May 16th. Man, I've just got too much material today. Let me go over Article 13 and the Emergency Powers Act, specifically Sections 86275 and 8629. The rest of it all tells us the governor has the power to declare a state of emergency, which you already know, and explains how this is to be done, and it defines the extent of the powers in such an emergency, and then how it's to be terminated. Now, Section 86275 gives some insight into the extent and limitations of the governor's powers during an emergency, and 86.29 stipulates how a state of emergency is terminated. According to California law, the governor can declare a state of emergency for any reason he deems appropriate. It's assumed that it'll be reasonable, but it isn't stipulated that it must be. And he has the power to terminate it when he deems the emergency is over. You'll notice there's no sunset clause on a governor's declaration of emergency. In Michigan, for example, they have a 60-day sunset clause. After the 60 days is up, the order has to be ratified by the state legislature. That legislature in Michigan refused to extend the order of Whitmer, but they are fighting about that right now in Michigan, as I mentioned earlier. In California, it's actually a much better situation if we actually had a balance of power in our legislature. Our laws provide for the legislature to convene at any time after the governor declares an emergency and end it by simply passing what is called a concurrent resolution. Now, a resolution doesn't have the force of law, and it doesn't require a signature by the governor. By concurrent, it is meant that both chambers must pass the resolution concurrently. This means the legislature can end a state of emergency if they will come together and pass a concurrent resolution declaring it's over. Now, that's good because it means that if a governor went crazy, you know, and declared an emergency over, well, let's just say a virus that kills about 2% of those infected and is essentially harmless to children and is of only any real concern to older people and people with pre-existing conditions, you know, whose safety could be easily addressed without draconian measures like suspending the constitutional rights of all Californians arbitrarily and indefinitely, right, for until further notice, and putting Americans in virtual house arrest and picking and choosing what businesses are essential and which ones are not, and then saying the small business owner must close, but the big box stores can stay open. Like the small store can't obey the same rules. What? Consolidation, friend. So hundreds can gather in Walmarts, but church assemblies are prohibited, and which is an unequal application of law forbidden by the Constitution and by common sense. If this guy went on and decreed abortion mills can continue because killing babies is important, marijuana and booze is essential, you know, since use of those substances suppresses our immune systems and makes us more vulnerable to infection. You know, gotta pump up the case count. Yeah, but the barbershops can't be open, of course, you know, for their own good, you know, and go on and on with policies that are destroying the livelihood of thousands of Californians. By all means, protect the job, however, of every government employee. I don't think any government employee should lose their job over this, but neither should the rest of us lose our jobs over this. But of course, from a liberal governor's point of view, government employees are, well, essential, but your job isn't. right? You got to keep those DMV revenues coming in, all the paperwork shuffling around there. Got to make certain those liquor licenses are being given the attention they need. And of course, all the teachers are going to get their pay anyway. Well, they should and so on. Yeah, they are important. But so are the rest of us and all the bureaucrats at the Department of Energy. Got to keep them going, you know. They need to be on the job. Need a full staff at Fish and Game. Need a full staff at records offices. There's not one single government employee that loses their income, but virtually every small business owner is getting wiped out. Well, you see, this provision allows the representatives of the people to see this going on and then to convene and pass a concurrent resolution ending the idiocy. But that would only happen if you had a balance of power in the California legislature. Or the other way this could happen is if you had a Republican-controlled legislature, conservative Republican-controlled legislature. Yeah, that would do it because, you know, conservatives don't believe in overturning the Constitution. Our liberal-dominated California legislature is not going to overturn our liberal governor because, well, they believe the way he does. It's all about getting rid of Trump, you know? Yeah, they want to destroy the California economy totally. They already have us teetering on bankruptcy, but let's just go ahead and finish it off, right? Crash the economy, drag the rest of America down with us, somehow contrive to blame Trump for all this, get Biden or some other Soros Gates dupe into office, and then, you know, go into socialism and then bail out California. God in heaven help us. We will break from the oppression of these illiberal liberals and vote for Trump in 2020, who will then be empowered to clean house and drain that stinking swamp. All right. So we don't expect the legislature to step in and end this, but what about Section 8627.5? Well, the heading there is Authority of Governor, Non-Safety Regulations on Delivery of Food Products, Pharmaceuticals, and Other Emergency Necessities, Form of Orders and Regulations, Effect and Duration. Allow me here to stipulate that I understand this heading establishes a context for what follows so that it applies to, you know, statutes, etc., that pertain to the delivery of food products, medicine, other emergency necessities, and the government bureaucracies that regulate those activities. But, well, just watch. I'm going to read the excerpts here. I don't have time to read the whole thing through. Get my notes from our website. Read the whole thing word for word. Okay. The governor may make, amend, or rescind orders and regulations during a state of emergency that temporarily suspend any state, county, city, or special district statute, ordinance, regulation, or rule imposing non-safety-related restrictions on the delivery of food products, pharmaceuticals, and other emergency necessities distributed through retail or institutional channels, and blah, blah, blah. And then the next part of that same section, the orders and regulations shall be in writing and take effect immediately on issuance, and the temporary suspension of any statute, ordinance, regulation, or rule shall remain in effect until the order or regulation is rescinded by the governor. The governor proclaims the termination of the state of emergency or for a period of 60 days, whichever occurs first. So, first, if we limit the stipulation of statutes, ordinances, regulations, rules to bureaucrat officials exercising their oversight in the areas mentioned above, delivery of food, medicine, all that. And so it's talking about the statutes pertaining to their authority. And then they go on to say that therefore this does not apply to those statutes, ordinances, rules, and so on that secure our liberties that are protected by our California Constitution and the Constitution of the United States and, well, natural law. Then pray tell, what were these nincompoops thinking? To put a sunset clause on the interruption of the bureaucrats' control over our lives and not put a sunset clause on the governor's control over all of our personal liberties? Local statutes and so forth are so vitally important to protect that you have to have a sunset clause stipulating a limit to how long the governor can suspend those laws. In other words, protecting the rights of the bureaucrats to exercise their control over our lives is too important to allow any governor to just come along and indefinitely suspend them. But bless God, when it comes to your right to feed your family or to sit on the beach or walk at liberty or go to the church or, in other words, living your life as a free man and woman, your fundamental inalienable rights don't matter to these people. Those can be suspended indefinitely. That's what they think about your liberty. How about we take a common sense approach to all this and read the clause that says temporary suspension of any statute, ordinance, regulation, or rule to mean, in fact, any statute, including those that provide security for our fundamental inalienable rights protected by both the California and the United States Constitution, with all of its amendments and so on, all of the Bill of Rights and the rest of them. Let's suppose the Californians who put this together had enough sense to understand you cannot give to any man such absolute power, allowing him to indefinitely and arbitrarily suspend a bureaucrat's right, but you can give him absolute power to suspend our inalienable rights? Friend, that is insulting to the intelligence and dignity of any rational human being. The idea that California would take measures to protect the rights of bureaucrats to boss us around, but would carelessly allow our fundamental, inalienable, and natural rights to be put under the absolute control of any man is absolutely sickening and absurd. So with regard to natural law and the recognition that our rights are fundamentally connected to our nature as humankind and can't be separated, and in recognition of the truth that we are endowed by our Creator with these inalienable rights, and understand that rights that are inalienable cannot well be alienated from us by any man for any reason that he might contrive, and so by the law of nature and nature's God, and in accordance to the spirit of California law, so assuming those guys care as much about our inalienable rights as they do about the rights of bureaucrats to boss us around, then I declare California free. And I say any provision in the governor's stay-at-home order that violates these superior laws are and of right ought to be null and void, and call on our governor to rescind them forthwith. And if he refuses, the legislature should be demanded of by the people that they represent to act with their legislative power to declare this emergency ended, according to Article 13. And if they refuse to do that, we, the people, must simply remind every one of these yahoos that the power is vested in the people and not in masses. We don't serve masters. We appoint ministers, not masters. My friend, I'm not going to have time to tell you about my experience at Costco and Home Depot, but it's worth hearing. So go to our Facebook page. Go to the church Facebook page. That's Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. Find the Facebook page. Get on that page and like it. And then you'll be included each evening when I go live to offer counsel and comfort in the present distress. A little usually short video chat with some friends and family of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Well, on that page, you'll find my last two visits, I call them. And I think you'll just find it to be hilarious when you learn what Becky and I dealt with on a recent visit to Costco and a recent visit to Home Depot. I call Home Depot Home Despot. They want to put you in a cage before you can go in. So go to Lowe's. Lowe's a good place. As for Costco, now you just got to listen to it to appreciate that. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. That's 1-805-314-2114. Leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Email me by going to godswar2020.com. That's godswar2020.com, and send me an email message. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today.
Prisoner wishes to say a word.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.